You called my name. I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You called my name. I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day.
Welcome to Scent Church. It's Easter Sunday. Come on. The tomb is empty. Christ has risen. I want to welcome everyone that's visiting with us. Welcome to the gathering of Scent Church. This is, as you know, a very special Sunday. Across the world, God's people will gather. From many, many tribes and tongues, many nations will gather today to celebrate that God is not dead, that He defeated death. He rose in victory over our sin, over our shame, over our guilt, that He bore 3 days ago. He rose in victory, claiming He is God, and He does love us, and He does have power to rule and reign. So I would like for you to join me and join Mary Magdalene and Mary as they many years ago, as they woke up on the Sabbath morning to go visit the tomb of who they thought was their Savior who had died, and as they made their way, this is what happened. So I would invite you, as much as you can, close your eyes, walk with them there, go with them and experience what they experienced that resurrection morning. The scripture says, "Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you.' So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. And they ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings.' And they came up, they took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" Let's pray. Father, Scent Church comes right now in fear. And in celebration, we come to you, our God, because you have the power to raise the dead. God, those of us who were once dead, we come with resurrected lives that you have the power. You brought the power to us. And so, God, we claim, as Paul claimed in Philippians, that we would know you and the power of your resurrection. God, help us this morning to experience the power of your resurrection. Where there was death, you have brought life. God, you defeated death for us. purchased all of your promises for us. The resurrection of Jesus declares to us that you will restore all things and that no evil can disrupt your good plan for us. God, we come in the name of Jesus, the living God, the present God. We come in His name to praise you for the work that you have accomplished through your Son, Jesus. God, our hearts are exploding with excitement, with joy, with celebration, because our God is not dead, He is alive. And because He is alive, we live. We have our breath, we have our being, because of the resurrected Jesus. So God, this morning, sent church here now, for the next little bit, God, receive from us. We fall at your feet. We worship you. You have given us what we could not get ourselves. We receive you. God, right now, last year, we did not get to gather. We did not get to gather. We grieved not being with brothers and sisters last year, God. But we are here now. You have brought us together. God, help us to worship you in freedom, because everything that would prevent us from being connected to you and honoring you and praising you and worshiping you, you took care of all of that on a gruesome cross. And in victory, you rose, showing us the power that you have and the glory that you have. So as we gaze this morning at an empty tomb, receive our worship in Christ's name.
Let's worship together. It says, I was buried beneath my shame.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met you, and you called my glorious day. You called my name. I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, to your glorious day.
May your mercy save my soul.
Now your mercy has saved soul. Now your freedom is all that I know. The old me knew, Jesus, when I met you, and you called my name, and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day.
Sing that out. You call my name.
You call my name. I
could rescue. My sin is heavy. The chains break at the weight of your glory. I need a shelter. I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future. My eyes are open. 'Cause when you called my name, I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You called my name. Darkness into your glorious day. There was a moment when the sky went out and death had claimed its victory. King of love had given up his life. The darkest day in history. There on a cross made for sinners. For every curse his blood atoned. Final breath and it is finished, but not the end I could have known. And the earth began to shake, and the veil was torn. A sacrifice was made. Oh,
the Savior of the
Amen, amen. He is risen. Thank you. Where my homies at? Come on, y'all. Happy Easter. It's great to see you. My name is Pastor David, and it's a joy to get to be one of the pastors here at Scent and to worship Jesus with you and to share God's word with you today. If you have a Bible, I would invite you to turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, we'll be in verses 24 through 31. Before we get there, I want to mention a couple of things. Kids, I'm going to holler at you in a minute. But before that, welcome to everyone, especially if it's your first time with us, either in person or online. It is so good to be in person, is it not? I remember preaching just this camera last year. I was like so excited because Jesus was alive, but still so sad because I could not be with you. And so it is a joy to get to see your faces and to be in the room together. And for those who still can't be with us, welcome, who will watch it later and listen later. It's a joy to have you. If it's your first time, we are glad that you're here. Just want to point you to one quick thing, one quick resource. There's a digital connect card. If you're listening online, right on our homepage. If you're in here, there's a welcome card in your seat, or you can use a digital card as well. You can scan the cart as well on your way out. We would love to just have your name and email to follow up with you in a respectful way, just to know that you were here. And certainly, if you have any prayer requests or questions or comments about the sermon or our time together, we would love to follow up with you through that. Secondly, kids, if you're under 18 and you're in here, I'm super, super glad that you are here this morning. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for joining with us. It is a joy. Oh, it's a joy to have everybody, but I love getting to have the kids in the room. So, kids, real quick, when I say 1, 2, 3, I want to hear as loud as you can, Jesus is alive. All right? 1, 2, 3. All right, one more time. And parents, help us out, all right? And friends and family, one more time, all together. 1, 2, 3. Jesus is alive! Woo! All right. Thomas Arnold, not that we necessarily need his help, but Thomas Arnold, professor of history at Oxford, says this: no one fact in the history of mankind is proved by better and fuller evidence of every sort than the fact that Christ died and rose from the dead. And this is what we are here to celebrate today. This is what we are here to celebrate every day when we gather. This is the reality of the resurrection, the hope that we have, the joy that we have, the reason that we sing, the reason that we give fancy, the reason that we gather every single week, every day, is because Jesus is alive. This is our hope. This is our joy. This is our certain hope that Christ is alive. We're going to look at the text this morning in John chapter 20. We're looking at Jesus and our friend Doubting Thomas this morning. Verse 24 of chapter 20. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other things in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is God's good word to us. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you are so gracious to record it so that we might hear it and believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing we might have life in your name. Thank you that the certainty of life that you promise, true life, abundant life, eternal life, forever life, the life that you promise, you secured through your victorious resurrection. After dying a brutal death in our place for our sin, you rose again. God, there's a temptation for those of us who have been walking with you for a while now for stories to become familiar, for the truth of your resurrection to become so familiar that we might be callous or unmoved or unchanged or unshaken by it. I pray today that for those who have been with you for a while, that you would utterly fascinate us again with the familiar. Do what only you can. And for those in this room or maybe listening online later that do not yet know the truth about who you are, who have not yet believed in your name, would you save them? Would you give them new life? Would you give them abundant life? Would you give them eternal life? Use your word, my words today, to bring about change in our hearts and lives. It's you who we will glorify and honor and praise for all the work that you are doing. It's in your beautiful name we pray, Christ Jesus. Amen. So when I was a little kid, I wasn't too rambunctious, but I liked to ride bikes in our neighborhood. And one day, my friends and I were cruising down the street. I don't remember exactly how old I was. My mom's here. She might could tell the story better than me. But I was a young kid, 6'7"-ish, 8, maybe somewhere in that range. And I was riding down the street on the way home from, I think I was coming home from school. But either way, I was riding home and crashed right into a mailbox. I was goofing off, looked up, crashed into a mailbox like a goof that I am. And I crashed. I was laying there. My friends were around me. I think my sister was there. I really am having trouble remembering. What I do remember, though, is that I was good. It was all well and good until I looked down. And the bottom of my leg, flesh was hanging. And I could see to the bone in my leg. And I thought, this is not great at all. And I began to scream for help. And soon, parents were there, and I remember we rode to the emergency room, got stitched up, and you can look on my leg still today, and I have this wonderful hook scar, shape scar on my leg from this bike crash. See, scars tell stories. Scars show evidence of things that we've been through, things that have happened. Scars remind us of the victories that we've won. There are no more beautiful scars in all of the world, in all of eternity, than the nail-scarred hands and the spear-pierced side of our Savior. And you see, our scarred Savior comes to Jesus, or comes to Thomas here, in his doubt, in his struggles, in his, I don't know if this is real. I can't believe unless I see it for myself. Our scarred Savior comes to Thomas and says, Thomas, look at the scars. Look at the hands. Look at the side that's been pierced. The scars are here to prove that I won. The scars are here to prove that I did what I set out to do, as we talked about on Friday, if you were here, that Jesus fulfilled the plan from eternity past to go to the cross, to die in our place for our sin, to be buried in a borrowed tomb, and then to rise again victorious. This King Jesus rises from the grave with the scars to prove He is victorious. And he comes to doubting Thomas and says, see, Thomas, look here at the scars. And we see here in the story that Thomas believes. He sees the scars and he confesses, my Lord and my God. He believes because the scars tell a story. They tell a story, and there's lots and lots of the scars of Christ Jesus, the beautiful, amazing, brilliant scars of Jesus tell us, but I'm just going to point out two today on this Easter Sunday morning. Because we have a scarred Savior, we're going to see that our scarred Savior brings us peace, and He brings us proof. And that should lead to something. I'm on a pea roll, all right? I had peas Friday night, peas this morning, and I don't even like to eat peas, all right? But peas is what you're getting. So our Savior brings us peace, and He brings us proof, and that should lead us to a profession. It should lead us to a profession of belief. Okay, so because our scarred Savior, we have peace. Look with me back at the text here. Thomas, again, in verses 24 and 25, he's saying, hey, guys, he missed out. Jesus has already showed up. If you know the story, if you know the story of John, if you know the book of John, Jesus over and over again has said, hey, I've come, sent from the Father over 25-ish times in the story. Jesus says, I was sent from God. He's sent with a clear purpose, a clear mission, a clear agenda. He's sent from God ultimately for this purpose, to die in our sin, or die in our place for our sin. And then he's put in a tomb, and then he raises again victorious. And so then he comes to the disciples after Pastor Stephen just read about. The ladies see him at the tomb. They go back, tell the disciples. They're hanging out. Jesus shows up in the few verses right before this to them in the upper room. It's locked. Jesus shows up and says, peace I bring to you. I leave with you. And then he commissions them. And part of where our church name comes from is from that passage right before this one, where Jesus says, I'm sending you into the world even as I was sent into the world. He commissions them to go. But we see that Thomas wasn't there for all of this. He wasn't there. We don't know why. The text doesn't tell us why, but he wasn't there. He wasn't there for the first appearing. He hadn't seen Jesus yet. All these folks are talking about it. All these cats are saying, Jesus is alive. We've seen him. We've seen him. He commissioned us. He breathed on us and gave us the Holy Spirit, gave us a mission, gave us purpose. Thomas going, I miss unless I see it in person. I can't believe. 8 days later, verse 26, his disciples were inside again and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Because of our scarred Savior, we can have peace. The scarred Savior alone brings peace. You see, he went through battle and came out with the scars to prove it so that you and I can experience peace. I know it's varying ages of folks in the room, but all of us have been through some mess in the last year, right? If we think about what's happened in the last year, it's been tough. I'd argue that our world is probably, particularly our American culture, is probably not, it's probably as divided as it's ever been on so many issues and in so many ways. You look out there, you see the culture is so much chaos, so much division, so much unrest, so much hate, so much propaganda, so much greed, gluttony, sin everywhere. Unrest everywhere, division everywhere. Jesus comes and says these four words, peace be with you. The peace that we can have in this broken, hurting, longing world only comes through a resurrected, scarred Savior. Jesus came to bring peace to the world. And notice here that Jesus is alive. This validates everything, right? This is what we celebrate today. This is why we're here. This is what is the best news in all of the world. Jesus is alive. This is the resurrected Jesus. This is the one who's already been in the grave and got up out of it. He comes. The locked doors can't hold him. Nothing can hold him. Jesus shows up to bring peace. He's alive. This validates everything for all of us, particularly for the skeptic. Jesus also reveals himself. Notice this in the text. He does the revealing. He does the pursuing. He does the coming after. We see this trend in our Savior over and over again, right? He's showed up on the scene in John 1, and now throughout the text, he continues to pursue. Can I tell you today that Jesus is still revealing himself to his people? He's still on the pursuit for our hearts. He's still coming through the locked doors of our hearts. He's still showing us in this broken, chaotic world, I alone bring peace. I alone can show you where you can find peace. He'll do it again in in all of chapter 21. He'll show up again to the disciples, continuing to reveal himself to them. Jesus is showing us who he is with his scars. He is alive, bringing peace. In the context of Jesus talking about going back to the Father, he's already promised peace to his disciples. In John 14, 27, he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And in the context of having trouble in this world after he is gone, Jesus promises peace as well. In John 16, 33, he says, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Long before Jesus showed up in Isaiah 53, 5, we see Jesus, the Messiah that was promised, the one who Jesus is. Isaiah prophesies and says, "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed." His scars, my brothers and sisters, bring us peace. He comes to Thomas, who's struggling to believe, who says, in fact, "I won't believe. I can't believe unless I see the scars." And Jesus shows up through the locked doors and reveals himself and says, "Peace, Thomas, be with you." Jesus alone brings peace. Secondly, not only does his scars bring us peace, because of our scarred Savior, we have proof. We have peace and we have proof. We have proof of again, lots of things. But again, in verse 27, Jesus says to Thomas, "Put your finger here." He's showing him the proof. "Put your finger here. See my hands. Put out your hand. Place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, Thomas, but believe." We have proof. We have proof of lots, again, lots and lots of things. I'll just point out two again. We have proof, first, of his love for us despite us. We have proof of his love for us despite us. This is what the scars, at least in some way, prove to us. The scars show us Jesus loved us this much despite of us, despite our rebellion, despite our sin, despite our running and doing things our own way. The scars show us both how great his love for us and how great our sin is against him. This is what Jesus had to go through because of our mess. The scars prove it. The scars prove both that we are in great need, that we are great sinners, and they prove that he is a great, loving Savior. The scars show us that we are completely known and completely loved. John 3:16, Jesus has said the popular verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, and whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." The idea is that God loves so much that he gave. The scars show that Jesus was given for us, that God loves us. In the Good Shepherd passage earlier in John 10:11, Jesus says, "I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." The scars show us that we have a good shepherd who loves us, who lays down his life for us. In John 15:13, Jesus says to his disciples, "Greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends." Jesus is living proof. The scars of our Savior are living proof of his love for us. Romans 5:8, "But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Christ died for us to show us his love. You see, we give tokens in exchange of our love, particularly in marriage. It's one of the ways we show that we love each other. We exchange rings as a token of love, as an evidence of love, to say, hey, I love you. Here's evidence of it. I'm going to wear this as proof of my love for you. We do other things to show that we love each other. Like right now, my wife is at home caring for a little baby girl, little baby Brooklyn, baby number 5, born 2 weeks ago. Whoop, 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 go my lady. She's a superhero. We do things. She right now lets me sleep a lot of the night while she is up almost all of the night nursing, caring for. And no love for each other. We show it. Hey, you want to know I love you? Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Jesus is coming to Thomas and he's coming to us today saying, look at the scars. They're proof of my love. They're proof that I love you despite your mess. Secondly, they're proof of his victory. They're proof of his victory. Jesus is alive and well here. Again, it's not, the scars certainly show that, but there's a man who was dead. He was literally in the grave. This is the appropriate time to use the word literally, all right? For all of us literally overusing the word literally all the time. He was quite literally dead, in the grave, buried, literally dead. You got it? You tracking? Hear me? He's dead. Now he's alive. He was dead. Now he's alive. He's quite literally alive. And he shows himself to Thomas. This is proof. And then he says, look at my scars. They're proof of his victory. Even though he has scars, Jesus is victorious. Even though he has battle wounds, he won the victory. He is victorious over sin, death, and hell, so that you and I in this broken world have hope, have certain hope that he is victorious in all the brokenness, in all the hurt, in all the scars, in all the pain, in all the mess that we go through in this broken world. We can be sure that victory is certain. We can be sure that our pain is not pointless. We can be sure that suffering is not pointless. We can be sure that our Savior cares because we look at the scars and we see His love and we know, yeah, it's hard right now. It's broken out there right now. It's rough right now. But Jesus is victorious. And the scars prove it. They show it. And we rest in the victory that he's provided for us. We have proof. God gave Thomas proof. He gives us proof. Look at the scars. Remember the scars. When the enemy reminds you of your pain, of your past, when the enemy shows you your scars, when you go through more pain and more hurt that is inevitable in this sinful, broken world, as we move forward in this life, remember his scars. Validate our scars. His scars guarantee victory for the scars and the wounds that we have. For the mess that we go through, we have proof that it's only going to get better. We have proof of his love for us. We have proof of his victory. Colossians 2, 13 through 15. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our trespasses. Listen to this. By canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Jesus is victorious. And he has the scars to prove it. He has the scars to prove it. So these scars that Jesus so graciously comes to show Thomas and us show not only that we have proof and not only that we have peace, but they should incite a response in us like they do Thomas here in verse 28. Thomas says in verse 28, Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. Thomas goes from, unless I see him, I will never believe, to my Lord and my God, because he saw the scars. He saw the nail-pierced hands. He saw the side that was pierced with the spear. He saw the proof. He experienced the peace. And it led him to profess, because of our scarred Savior, we should profess. What are we professing? We're professing belief in Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior, God in the flesh, come to dwell with us and do work that only he can. This is where, verse 29, Jesus says, have you believed because you have seen me? He's talking to Thomas here. Then he's talking to us in a lot of ways. Blessed are those who have not yet seen, who have not seen and yet have believed. Though he's talking certainly about some of the disciples who already believed, even though they hadn't seen Jesus. And then he's saying to us today, he's saying, hey, the physical resurrected Jesus isn't here in our presence to say, here's my scars, look at them. But what he is saying is that we have all that we need. We have the story of Thomas. We have the historical reliability of the resurrection. That's a historically verifiable fact. We have these written words. That's where John tells us right after this in verse 30. Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. We should profess. When we see our scarred Savior, our response should be profession of belief that he is the Savior, the Christ, the Messiah, God in the flesh. This belief will lead us to life in his name. You see, the recorded signs of Jesus were done to lead to belief. The scars that Jesus bears are intended to send us into belief. See, but it's not blind faith. It's not blindly following. It's not that we're just going, yeah, we believe in this fairy tale God up in the sky. It's rooted in the certainty of Christ Jesus, our resurrected Savior, the one who now stands before Thomas and today is seated in heaven at the throne. Our confidence is in him. Our hope is in him. I've used this illustration far too many times, but I seriously don't have a better one. It's not like me, see, it's not like me having faith that come fall time, my sweet, sweet, sweet Georgia Bulldogs will win the Natty. It's not like that. Like, I can have all the faith I want to have that this will be the year that they win the national title. Maybe, just maybe, if I have enough faith that Kirby and the boys will pull through. Maybe, thank you, please. If we just have enough faith, John Wilbanks and I just muster up enough faith. The Bulldogs will win. That's not the kind of faith we have, right? It's more like I have a friend who, I'm not going to say names so I'll get in trouble, but I have a dear friend, who has lots of cameras in his home for reasons that we don't need to talk about, but when sometimes when he and his family, particularly him and his spouse, maybe get in a dispute, he or she might say, you didn't say that, but there's evidence to prove it. And so they just go back and look at the camera. And it's like, no, here's exactly what you said. And so we have faith like this, like it's recorded, like it's, no, right here, this is what you said, sweet dumpling. You said this. You didn't say that, you said this. This is the faith, right? It's faith. Like, my wife and I like to play lots of things. We're very competitive. One of our favorite things to play is beach volleyball. She's way better than I am. But I like playing in the sand because we will be fighting over whether the serve is in or out, right? No, that's in. No, that's out. No, that's in. No, that's out. Sweetheart, come here. Sweet dumpling. Look right here. There's an imprint, Wilson, right here in the sand. It's outside of the line. You're wrong. All right? There's evidence. There's proof. This is the kind of faith that we have in our Savior. This is what Jesus is showing Thomas. Look, Thomas, look. Here's the scars. Touch them. Feel them. See them. I'm alive. I was dead, literally. I'm alive, literally. Look at these literal scars in my hands. The faith we have in our Savior is not some blind, silly, fairy tale faith. It is faith that is rooted in the reality of a resurrected King and Savior who won the victory. And these signs here are intended to lead us to belief. Very quickly, what do we believe in? We believe in Jesus. Our Middle Eastern Savior, who was homeless most of his life, nomadic, who lived a perfect life, and then died a death in our place for our sin, and then rose again from the grave victorious, and said, the only way to the Father is through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Because you must confess me. You must believe in me. We must believe, ultimately, that He is two major things. He is the Christ. That's what John says here. These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. The promised one who came to take away the sins of the world. The one who all the Old Testament talked about. The one who in Genesis 3:15 was promised about. And then the story has been unfolded through all the Old Testament until Jesus showed up on the scene as the actual true snake crusher. The one who was promised in Genesis 3:15 to crush the head of the serpent. When sin entered the world, Jesus shows up. He's the Messiah. He is the one the world have been looking for and waiting for and hoping for. He is the one who, after lines and lines and lines of humankind, Jesus said, I'm going to send a snake crusher to make, God said, I'm going to send a snake crusher to make things right after sin entered the world. And over and over and over again, we see in the Old Testament, this guy's not it. Cain and Abel, right? This guy's not it. He's not the one. He's not the one. This guy's not the one. This guy's not the one. This guy's not the one. Until Jesus. And He's here. He's the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the one we're looking for. He's the one we're waiting for. John 1, 40 and 42. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon's Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah. That's who they were looking for. They found Him. We're to believe that He is the Messiah, the Savior, the only one, the perfect, spotless Lamb to take away the sins of the world. This is the one we must believe in. We must also believe in He is the Son of God, the Christ, the Son of God. He is divine. He is God incarnate. He is the second person of the Trinity. In the beginning was the Word, John 1:1. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is God in the flesh, down in John 1:14. And the Word, this God, this Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is God. We must believe that Jesus is our Savior and our God. And when we believe, we have life in His name. Belief in Christ Jesus is what gives us life. True life. Real life. It gives us abundant life. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus is redeeming this broken world. He's offering life to any who will believe and confess that He is Messiah, the Son of God. Not only is it abundant, it's eternal. Jesus, just before Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, earlier in John 11, He says to Lazarus' sister Martha, Jesus said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in Me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in Me shall never die." The life He promises is abundant. It's eternal. And this is eternal life. John 17:3, Jesus says that they know You, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. John, God is graciously giving us this book through the Apostle John so that we might see the scars, so that we might see the signs, and that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and so that by believing we might have life in His name. Seeing the scars should lead to profession of belief. If you're in here today, or if you're listening online at some point today, I would encourage you, look to the scars of Jesus and believe in the sinless Son of God so that you might have real, true life. And if you need two more P's, I'm not going to expound on these, but if you need two more P's, not only do these scars lead us to profess Jesus as Lord, but they lead us to both praise Him and proclaim Him in this broken world. And we're about to praise Him. We're about to get our praise on through song. We're going to keep doing that, all right? And we're going to praise Him as we leave. And by God's grace, we'll proclaim Him from here to the ends of the earth, because the world needs to hear this good news. And so I have one question for us this morning as we close, and that's this. How will you respond to the scarred Savior today? How will you respond to the scarred Savior today? I just mentioned it, but if you're in here or you're listening online and you have not yet declared like Thomas and many, many other followers of Jesus, "My Lord and my God." You have not yet confessed that He is Lord. You've not yet turned from your sin and doing life your way and repented. That's the biblical term for turning from your own sin and running to Jesus and trusting in Him with your life. And saying, "You're my Lord and my God. You're my King. You're my ruler. I submit all of my life to You. I trust You to forgive me of my sins. I trust You to give me real, true life. I've been looking all around this world trying to find life, trying to find meaning, trying to find purpose, trying to find peace. I trust You, Jesus, alone to bring the peace that my soul is desperate for." Look to Him. Trust in Him for the peace that only His nail-scarred hands can bring you. And if you're in here today and you've trusted in this Jesus, our King, may His scars remind us again today where our peace comes from. May they remind us again as the proof that we have that Jesus is victorious, and that no matter how broken and messed up this world may look or seem, that Jesus is our victor. That He is ruling, He is reigning, He is in control. And He will one day make all things right and new again. He's victorious. May we be encouraged to praise Him and proclaim Him. Propaganda, in his song Framed Stretch Marks, which is one of my favorite songs for a variety of reasons, he says there's only two ways you get stretch marks. He's talking to his lady, and he says, "If I could frame your stretch marks, I would." Talking about how beautiful they are. One of the only two ways you get stretch marks is through childbirth. It's a neat song. He says in the chorus, "If it isn't love, if it doesn't hurt, if you don't feel it, then it doesn't work. The pain removes the scales, pulls back the veil. The bruises and the blood will always tell the tale of the grace of grief, the beauty of brokenness, the peace of pain, the hope of hopelessness, the ease of emotion, the frame for the feelings,
the scars and stretch marks, the proof of God's healing. He says, I see beauty in the scars, like colors in a collage. The greatest love gave me life through his death on the cross. Yeah. Look to the scars to see the greatest love in all the world. Look to the scars. Look to our scarred, resurrected Savior. And I'll close with Tim Keller, who said, with many, many others similarly before him, if Jesus rose from the dead, then you have to accept all that he said. If he didn't rise from the dead, then why worry about any of what he said? The issue on which everything hangs is not whether or not you like his teaching, but whether or not he rose from the dead. He's alive. He's well. He has the scars to prove it. May we respond appropriately with a profession of belief in him, with praise and adoration to him, and ultimately with proclamation to the ends of the earth that says, I was dead, now I'm alive, because my Savior lives, and he's got the scars to prove it. Let's pray together. God, we love you. We need you. Pray that no matter where people are in this room, that you would remind us of your goodness and your grace. I pray that we would look to the scars to see that you alone bring peace. That we have proof of your love for us and your victory over the brokenness of this world and our own souls. And that it would lead us to profess you as our King and our Lord and our God. And we would follow you in all of our lives, in every area of our lives. We would profess you as Lord. And we praise you for being alive. And we proclaim you to the ends of the earth, starting with our friends, family, and neighbors. Help us now to respond to our resurrected Savior appropriately. Thank you that you're alive. Thank you that you showed us your love. Thank you that you secured victory and the scars prove it. We love you. We need you. Help us to rest in you now. And have peace that only you offer. It's in your beautiful name we pray, Christ Jesus. Amen. Now we're going to respond to the Lord in a few particular ways. We are going to, in just a moment, as I said, we're going to stand and we're going to give God praise. We're going to praise him for who he is and all he's done in our lives. I want to invite you to do that. And if you're in here today and you're not a follower of Jesus, I'll be standing in the back. I would love to chat with you about what it means to trust in this resurrected Savior. You're going, I don't know that I've made that profession. I want the peace. I see the proof. And I need to make that profession of belief in him. I'll be standing in the back. I'd love to chat with you about it. Or again, you could fill out that digital card and we can follow up with you later if you're listening online or even in here. We would love, one of the other pastors would love to talk with you more about what it means to follow Jesus with your life. Profess him. Believe in him. And so I want you to think, ponder about what it means to follow Jesus and how we can respond to him appropriately today. And as we leave here, let's worship our King and our God and our Savior for who he is and all he's done. And then secondly, if you have kids over there, I want to invite you to go grab them and bring them back in here so we can worship together as a crew. Love you guys. Love getting to be one of your pastors. Love getting to preach our resurrected Savior every week to you. Let's continue to worship Jesus now.
Stand with me.
hands are dirty. I dare not lift them up to the Holy One. You plead my cause, you right my wrongs, you break my chains, you overcome, you gave your to give me mine. You say that I am free. How can it be? Yeah. How can it be? Yeah. I've been afraid I've let you down, inside I doubt that you could love me. But in your eyes is only grace now.
You plead my cause.
You plead my cause, you right my wrongs, you break my chains, you overcome, you gave your life to give me mine. You say that I am free. How can it be? Can it be? Yeah.
Though I fall,
you can make me new. From this death, I will rise with you. And all the grace reaching now. You plead my cause, you right my wrongs, you break my chains, you overcome, you gave your life to give me mine. You say that I am free. How can it be? Cause you right my wrongs, you break my chains, you overcome, you gave your life to give me mine. You say that I am free. How can moon and stars, they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was falling. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us. The weight of every curse upon us. final breath you gave, as heaven looked away, the Son of God is laid in darkness. Battle in the grave, the war on death was waged, the power of hell forever broken. The ground began to shake, the stone was rolled away, his perfect love cannot be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? A resurrected king has rendered you defeated. Sing forever.
What a beautiful name it is, the name.
So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater.
What could separate?
What could separate us now?
What a wonderful,
wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus.
What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Death could not hold you, the veil tore before you, you silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again.
No rival.
You have no rival. You have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names.
Powerful.
What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name. Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
What a powerful name it is.
The name of Jesus.
What a powerful,
what a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Jesus, we love you. And we love that you've shown us how beautiful and wonderful and powerful your name and your love is for us. I pray that whether we are still doubting, and whether or not we feel you in the way that Thomas and the disciples could, I pray that we would just trust your love in your finished work for us. I pray that you'd give us rest and joy and full life in your name. That whatever we're trying to hold on to or look to as our God would be dead at the cross, and that we would take hold of the new life that you're just extending and offering to us. Thank you that you came and did what we were powerless to do while we were still powerless to do it, and chose to give us your power instead, that it might dwell within us. I pray that we would go in your power and in your name and be sent to be the light of the world. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you. Amen.
You can remain standing. Let's thank the band for blessing us today. And Pastor David for a powerful resurrection message. We do serve a risen Lord. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, we do want to thank you for blessing us. and joining us in celebrating this Savior. If this is your first time, on your way out, we have a small little gift for you. You can stop by the desk, the rolling desk that we have over there, and someone will give you a little gift. We're gonna sing that one more time as we exit. That is going to be our benediction today. But as we were reminded through the message, we have peace. Christian, Christ follower, peace is not something we need to go attain. It's not something we're longing for. It's something we have. So now we go in peace because we have met the Prince of Peace, because it has been purchased for us. We have the proof. We've seen the scars. And now we go and we do proclaim, Christ rose for you. Christ rose for your neighbors. Christ rose for your friends and your family. And Christ is worth proclaiming. So, Scent Church, this Easter we celebrate, we rejoice. We're reminded in what has been familiar is still fantastic. But we also go in Jesus' name, proclaiming this good news to a world that desperately needs it. All right, so now as we leave, we're going to sing and then leave. So let's one more time, you can give it all you got. You can give it all you got and worship this good God, and then you are dismissed. Today, so you can leave the chairs as they are. Yeah. And Scent Church, you are dismissed. Be sent.